This podcast is sponsored by the Center for International Business, Loyola University New Orleans College of Business.
Welcome to Gumbo of Opportunities, the podcast where we dive deep into the landscape of international business with a closer look at the state of Louisiana and New Orleans. We will hear stories, insights, and strategies of influential global players of the Bayou region in a pursuit to make the Bayou one of the most attractive areas for businesses. This is Gumbo of Opportunities.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Gumbo of Opportunities. Season 2 is here, and we're excited to share what's been cooking at the Center for International Business. I am your guest host, Farrah Wells, and today I am joined by two familiar voices. You know and love them. We have Dr. Gustavo Barboza and Dr. Alessandro Bracca. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back after a wonderful end of the season last year in a very active summer full of activities, and I can't wait to share all those with you. It's a joy to be here, and we'll continue cooking here, trying to get most of the good things that we do out there and create waves of knowledge. And to all the listeners, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's good to be back. It's really good to be back. We had a nice, well-earned break throughout the summer, and now we're ready, pumped up to the new season of Gumbo of Opportunities. So let's begin.
We are back. All right. So for the new listeners, would you guys mind briefly introducing yourselves and the role that you have at the center?
Perfect. Thank you so much. Yes, my name is Gustavo Barboza, originally from Costa Rica. I've been here at Loyola. This is the beginning of my sixth year. I am the Professor and Reynolds Chair of International Business and also serve as the Director of the Center for International Business. It is my absolute pleasure to be here. Here in the company of a wonderful team of individuals, helping advance the mission of the center as well as the mission of the college and university. So welcome.
And I'm Alessandro Bracca, College of Business myself, from the Center for International Business. I'm from Italy. I guess my pronunciation doesn't have any other, it's kind of easy to, even my students tell me, "Oh, you're from Italy." Yeah. I guess you can find it very, very easily. But yeah, happy to be here again. I'm a research scholar in international business at the Center for International Business, and I'm also adjunct faculty in a bunch of courses of management and international business as well. Happy to be here again. Really ready for a new season of encounters, meetings. We have great, great guests in line for our second season, so please stay with us throughout all this academic year.
Thank you. And like I said, I'm your guest host, Farrah Wells, the program coordinator for the Center for International Business. So happy to be back and setting the stage for our listeners for season 2. So before we dive in on this new academic year, which we're excited for, why don't we rewind back to some of our highlights from the last academic year? It's been a while since the three of us have been at the mic together, and I don't think we've had a chance to tell our listeners about some exciting accomplishments we've had. So, Dr. Barboza, would you like to kick us off with some of your favorite highlights from last academic year?
Yes, absolutely. We did so many things. At times it was hard to keep track of all the things that we were doing. In all the three fronts, right? We were doing the service part, we were doing the teaching, and of course the research. The teaching taking place here and also abroad with the study abroad in Costa Rica that Ali led, and then the study abroad program that was conducted in Rome, the eternal city, by Professor Bracca and Professor Rambo. But at the same time, we did last year great conversations with several speakers that allows us to understand better why international business is so important and why having individuals with the capability to understand the implications of being an international manager could lead to sparks innovation and creativity. And that's sort of what we want to do here through the podcast, and that is bring topics to the table that are relevant. We ended up the year on a note dealing with the state of the economy. Things have gotten even much more complicated since. had the opportunity to give a talk in Spain, in Cordoba, invited by the Loyola University of Andalusia to specifically talk about those topics. And it was very interesting because it was a reminder of what we have talked prior to the end of the semester. So, I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about what we did, but creative things that we did. We had a highlight with the Creative Sparks Conference. In a spoiler alert, we're going to have 3.0 coming up this next April, so stay tuned for that as well. We'll bring some very good speakers to talk about all this. So we did a significant amount of work. And in fact, we were so busy that spreading the word, you know, continued to be the next step. So this podcast allows us to reach out to more people. I will let you talk about all the new adventures that we have and the new media opportunities. So Ale, you know, take it up.
Yes. So Gustavo introduced more like a big picture about what we did last year. Just to give you a couple of brief highlights. Actually, what we did is we tried to invite a mix of academics, so professors from Loyola and outside Loyola. Many of them were international guests, so we were really pleased to have them in our podcast, invited to our episode. And actually, it's not a secret, we shot two episodes in Costa Rica mm-hmm. for this podcast. Maybe you hear some background noise like bird chirping and so, which is kind of like a nice... keeps the reality out of it, right? So following academics, we also invited a couple of managers. We had the opportunity to interview Eric Ballan from the French-American Chamber of Commerce New Orleans chapter. It's been a great interview. And we also engage with students. And engaging with students is also the fil rouge of what we plan to have as a second season of Gamble of Opportunities. What we did last year is we shot an episode discussing with two students who came with us in Costa Rica for the J-Term study abroad. And it's no secret that episode was top three in terms of visualization. So I said no secret because I was expecting that, and that, of course... kind of fuel our intention to keep pushing the podcast towards engaging more with students. That's what we plan to do for season two, meaning that we won't have just one episode with students, but we plan to have many of them with students, starting from what happened in Rome.
Yeah.
So kind of like, you know, sharing some feedbacks about what happened throughout the summer study abroad in Rome, with a couple of students who went in Rome with me. And then, of course, we will repropose the study abroad Costa Rica, I guess around February, March episode. So to keep the ball rolling and to keep the information flows towards whomever might be interested in taking part of the study abroad, as much as who might be interested in coming here mm-hmm. and speak with us at Gamble Opportunities.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ale. There is this synergy that is created through the students being an active, you know, part of what we do, of course, teaching, but also the bringing the day in, day out situations that happen outside in the world as part of the Gamble Opportunities, and analyzing via this media the implications that might lead to have in both, you know, our teaching, our research, and the experience that students might have coming from other countries and also going to other countries, predominantly in a situation where the visas might be becoming more complicated, funding is much more complicated. And so the platform serves all these interesting, you know, purposes. And so it has a lot of agility and flexibility to pick and choose topics that are going to be very timely. So absolutely.
And studying abroad is always such a hot topic when it comes to international business students and you know, taking the major as it is a requirement within the major. I would love to talk about the opportunity that we launched for students to have those means of connection and diving deeper into international business right here on campus, which was launching our first cohort of international business fellows. So can you, Dr. Braga, talk about the thought behind launching that program and any highlights from last semester?
Yes. We are very proud to have completed a first cohort, even though we started kind of late in the semester. So we had just the possibility to kind of like work together with small but very motivated group of individuals throughout the second semester. So actually, in reality, it's been like probably around 3 years and a, 3 years, sorry, 3 months and a half. But still, we got very nice people, people we, without any doubt, who will be successful. Actually, two of them are already start building their career in very huge multinational organizations here in the U.S. So what is our purpose to start this fellowship program? Our purpose was to have a new opportunity for students, for motivated students, students who might be coming from international business major, but not necessarily. But the Fiery Rouge has to be students who are motivated in researching, in working on a specific topic that matters for international business. So that's how we recruited them. We recruited a small group. Why a small group? Because small group allows us to maximize the effort that we put into them as much as them put into the program. And a small group, of course, allows us to have a more one-to-one relationship with them. So they can really, we can help them to build their own pathway to the towards the success.
Correct. I would like to add to those comments the very nature of the fellows being a hand-picked group of students. So it is a scholarship reward that they receive from for being very good students that are willing to put extra effort outside the classroom to continue learning in a much reduced environment, a very friendly environment in which we spin, you know, again, the three axles of it. We want them to learn to do more research, but we also want them to engage in cultural activities, and we want to develop the soft skills of leadership, given that opportunity to be creative in a very self, somewhat controlled environment, willing to take risks and make mistakes and try trial and error. One of the things that we love about the CAB fellows is their proficiency in multitude of languages and in order willingness to learn other languages. And hence, we were able to do events in different languages, in Spanish, in Italian, a little bit in French, and then, of course, in English, which also reflects the nature of the students that we have and how we best serve them. And so, yeah, looking forward to continue working with them, incorporating those students from the dual degree program that comes from Andalusia, Spain, and other students that have already, they will continue from the first cohort into the second, so they become somewhat leaders in the group. And so it is a very, very engaging, very interesting program in which we have the chance to see the progression and growth of the students, in a much, much closer way. So super excited with the program. So thank you very much, Ali.
No, especially right now that the program runs for a full academic year and is the second time now we run the program. And from the first edition, from the first cohort, we will have at least one that is moving forward towards this program. So what we are looking forward towards the next couple of years is to have literally students and picked, like Gustavo said, the students, exceptional students, who does not just pass by throughout the program, but students who are willing to enter the program, enter into this cohort group, and grow within this cohort group. One, for example, we hope he will stay in for all the 4 years of his career here at Loyola University, so that we can really see how students will grow with us, how very, very shy at the beginning students will literally blossom throughout the years and can really, really become the leader of their own group, of their own cohort of fellows.
So that was great, great highlight reel. I think, for our listeners, you can see the Center for International Business is doing conferences, new courses, study abroad, fellowship programs. These are all, you know, monumental milestones within the center that are really shaping the direction of the center moving forward, and especially into this new academic year. We have a lot of momentum leading into this new year. So this is a great segue into what can we expect in this new academic year? What's new for students? What's new for faculty? What's new for, you know, academic scholars that we love to partner with? Dr. Barbosa, would you like to kick us off?
Yes, absolutely. So we, as we said earlier, we'll continue with the Creative Sparks, which has resulted in a series of very engaging, you know, research activities. I'm very happy to say that our productivity has been very steady and very productive, you know, save the redundancy there. We have a lot of research projects going on. We have engaged in a multitude of conferences. We have been able to bring and will bring, again, you know, world-class scholars to be part of what we do. We have an upcoming event in conjunction with the Center for Ethics and Economic Justice, where we're bringing Professor Freeman from University of Virginia, the Professor Freeman, you know, founder, creator of the idea of corporate social responsibility. In addition, we are looking forward to bringing Professor Francisco Rodriguez from Universidad de Granada, and other international experts that will talk about the ethics of artificial intelligence and the economic impact. So those are just a few examples. Of course, we'll continue participating in conferences. We'll continue advancing our role in the topics of personal finance and the partnership with Stanford University. We will promote, you know, study abroad programs, and that has been a very, very strong, you know, success that we have as the students are able and willing to experience new places. We continue to welcome foreign students. It's very rewarding when I walk into a classroom and I have students from Panama, Nicaragua, Honduras, of course, the U.S., from multitude of, you know, literally all the four corners of the U.S., Miami, Washington, D.C., Seattle, you know, L.A., Atlanta, you know, Tennessee. We have then students from Spain, France, Italy, the Netherlands, and Armenia, and then Ethiopia, plus a new group of students from South Korea. So we have a large range of opportunities to continue expanding. And hence, we will have, you know, cultural events that are going to be led by the CAB fellows. So on that end, what we look forward is, once again, to create rigorous researchers that have an opportunity to explore new topics, but at the same time, people that hold those soft skills and become aware of the differences and how those differences shape and create opportunities for the bridging, you know, cultures and differences across people and countries.
Can I stop you, Farah? I know that you're already moving ahead, but can I stop you to just,
of course,
tell the listener like a nice, I believe it's a nice anecdote. We spent, I think the first full episode of this podcast to frame what IB, what international business is, right? We spent 1 hour about to just frame the concept and its meaning. Now, I had a student a while ago, he asked me, okay, professor, what is international business in reality? And I told him, I can give you 10 different definitions. We can chat 1 hour about international business. Even if we do that, it won't be enough to fully understand what's behind it, what's behind this concept. So then what should I do, professor? I tell you what I do, what you should do. You should come with us in the study abroad program. Mm. And I can tell you why you should come with us. Because no matter how many definitions you can get, how many books you can read about international business, it's when you're there talking with managers. Understanding what does it mean to launch a sustainable business in Costa Rica, recycling lithium batteries, means for being an international business. Or being one of the biggest contractor of Boston Scientific in Costa Rica means for dealing with international business, for dealing with dynamics of international business like foreign direct investments, barriers to innovations, knowledge spillovers, being in close proximity to competitors as much as with allies. Only that you will fully understand all the stuff you can find in books. So we can be the most effective teachers, we can be the most effective instructors, we can provide students with the, as many examples as possible. Still, the coin flips if you're there and you experience yourself the real meaning of something that at the beginning is just words.
Mm-hmm. See, when we talk here, the amount of ideas that just start, you know, crossing our minds, you know, just explode, and that's one of the beauties of this podcast. Ali mentions the issue of international business, and I just want to remind us that international business became an important sort of field sometime in the late 80s, early 90s, when there was a significant elimination of barriers to international trade. Not that trade was not happening, but the collapse of the old model of import substitution industrialization opened up barriers, predominantly when President Reagan told Gorbachev, you know, turn this wall down, and then from there, it has been a trip in terms of, you know, lowering barriers and increasing cross-pollination across, you know, countries via individuals moving and companies moving. That's international business. Today, what we observe, and that hence the importance of international business, is somewhat the reversal to that policy of the 90s, predominantly taken by the U.S. in what has been an initial trade war with China that affects international business. Enhance local businesses. So the study of international business in this regard brings together all sorts of fields. It provides a plethora of angles and directions that we can look at the problems. And so the possibilities for the students are endless. In each experience, in each country, is going to be different because the cultures are different. And so providing that opportunity to the students is one of our main goals. Kind of open up their eyes and open up an appetite to do this. Because once you're beaten by it, it's pretty hard to think about something else.
That is very true. No, and I think that was the perfect anecdote to explain, you know, the importance, especially to our students, of international business, is there's no one definition and there's no one explanation or one course that you take and you understand it all. It's an experience. And I think that's why within our curriculum, we require our students to, you know, have that language requirement, open yourselves up, study abroad, you know, let's work with the Center for International Education. Let's, you know, really get the College of Business as one of the pillars of the college is international business. I think that was great. Thank you for that story, Dr. Braga. One thing that I would love to talk about specifically within the course curriculum is your new course, Sustainable Future, correct?
Yes. It's a new first-year seminar that this year we offer to freshmen. It's the same idea of connecting international business with the topic of sustainability. And why should we? Well, it should because now sustainability is a reality, is an approach to business that we cannot forget. It's essential now. Customers ask for it. Not just customer. Natural capital, natural environment requires it. Hidden in the idea of sustainability, of sustainable development, there are two principles that applies to everything, if you think about it, the principle of balance and the principle of stewardship. And those two principles apply perfectly if we think about multinational organizations who are called today not to just produce wealth to a small group of people or to just one category of stakeholder, but they are now asked to produce wealth with a much wider array of stakeholders. Meaning that we need to explore possibilities, and we do that throughout our study abroad programs. We do that then providing the same examples that ourselves, like in first person, we felt and we experienced over there. I keep mentioning my classes, probably they're gonna dream that company overnight because I keep mentioning this amazing company in Costa Rica called Fortec. But it's an exploratory case, mm-hmm, of how doing business abroad, doing business internationally still doesn't compromise the idea of being a sustainable business. So the idea of introducing new courses, still extremely connected to our Center for International Business, exploring the topic of sustainability, kind of have the objective of opening minds towards freshman students and expanding their horizons, saying that there is a lot out there that you can catch, that you can make yours, and you can build your career around it. And so, as Gustavo was saying, opportunities are endless if you start looking for them. So this is one little attempt to keep starting the flame from the very beginning and keep nurturing that flame as each student goes from freshman to sophomore, junior and senior year, so that we can identify talents from the very beginning, and once identified, we nurture those talents, and we nurture in a way that when students finish Loyola, graduate from Loyola, they are well-formed leaders, ready to step up in the world, keep pursuing the Jesuit ideas and values, and apply those ideas and values into amazing careers.
I totally agree with Alessandro's views. And I'm just going to say it's slightly different, but it's the same idea, and that is our job is to create opportunities for, as the title of this podcast is, create opportunities so students feel safe to explore in a safe environment, where if mistakes are made, that's perfectly fine. And at the same time, we lead by example. Part of being an international business is to be international. And hence, we welcome multiple languages. We participate in conferences and events in and outside the U.S. We represent the values of Loyola as an embracing institution and embracing point of view of life, where we want to make clear that we respect people's differences and build on those differences to create, more opportunities. And those opportunities then leading to us being, better people. And, of course, with the hope that we all, eventually become safe and, go back to see our creator, right? And so the center, the work that we do is embedded in those very strong values of making people, educate the whole person while working hard and also having fun. It's important to get that balance. And so Study Abroad offers you all those opportunities as well.
No, that's great. And I think just to touch on more of what Dr. Braga was saying, and like you were saying, Dr. Barbosa, is it's important to expose our students to this as soon as possible. So the fact that we are able to have a first-year seminar, and for those who don't know, that's in Loyola's core curriculum, is every freshman is enrolled into a course. You do not have to be a business major to take this course. So, in fact, we encourage non-business majors to take these kinds of courses so that they get to, maybe their sophomore year, they want to pick up a double major. And all of our study abroad programs are open to non-business majors. They are College of Business-led faculty. We welcome all perspectives, all disciplines. So speaking of, Costa Rica and study abroad, that is going to be the next biggest topic for us of recruiting students for that. Applications are now open. You can go to studyabroad.loino.edu to go and check out the application process. Actually, I'm going to pose this to both of you. What should non-business majors know about this study abroad opportunity? Why would they want to study abroad in Costa Rica for 2 weeks in January, just in a couple of months?
Well, there's a lot of positives to it, right? And as Alessandro has said, even though we started the first year that we did it, it was all business students. It has opened up because the opportunities, again, are not only for people that are within the business world, but it's also for people that want to broaden their horizon and understand the differences across cultures. And so the program, while it is a business program, it has multitude of components ranging from the cultural elements, of course, tourism, business visits, and in many cases, visits to government officials. It allows to gain a holistic view of a relatively still underdeveloped but on the verge of becoming developed country that is very safe for the most part. You know, like any other place, there is petty crime. But it's a very safe country. It's a beautiful location. It offers in a very, very small geographic distance a tremendous variety. And it allows the students to engage in processes outside the classroom, and I have to say, at a very economically rate as well. You know, it's actually cheaper for them to take our study abroad and earn 3 credits than paying for 3 credits, you know, while being here. So that's also, there's an economic incentive there. So the program, while being a business-driven program, it also welcomes the opportunities for others to engage in it. For instance, one of our first students in the study abroad in Rome was not a non-business student, and the student was a bit concerned about the possibilities from not being a business, you know, student. Turns out to be that this student was the top student. It was a transformational experience. From that point on, the student traveled extensively and participated in other programs, and currently he has joined the Peace Corps to, you know, continue growing, you know, at the side of the stewardship because of the experiences learned throughout the study abroad program. So it is indeed an eye-opener, and the fact that we offer it through the university also gives a lot of peace of mind. What we cannot guarantee, you know, it's a risk-free, the risk is quite controlled in the program. So all those are positive elements of our study abroad program.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. And just to give listeners a note, if any students are listening, we will be promoting this program at the Center for International Education's International Festival on October 1st in the Peace Quad. So, you know, if you're listening to this before October 1st, come and check us out. We'll be there to answer any of your questions. And we would love for you to apply to the program. We love running it every year. It is one of our favorites. You know, we have some bias in the room.
Just a little bit.
Dr. Barbosa is from Costa Rica. So, it's always a good time. So we're always happy to promote it. And we love working with the CIE and their team over there as well.
Just free commercial to the CIE. They're just an amazing group of people. Their leadership and their work is nothing short of exceptional.
Yes.
And they make sure that we are always covered. They provide every possible and beyond support that we need. So kudos to Mariette and her team. They are just amazing.
Absolutely. And can I also add very, very brief comment to what Gustavo said?
Of course.
Also, coming from your question, Farah, why should non-business students consider and applying to Costa Rica J-Term program? Costa Rica J-Term program has an hidden, still not hidden, but very, very clear sustainability component into it. Just 2 examples. Last year, went to Costa Rica, J-Term program. We visited 2 amazing places. First one, we went to Starbucks, Hacienda Alsacia, which is the only location in which Starbucks, instead of buying coffee from vendors, it cultivates its own coffee. It studied all the chemical component of the fruit. You know, coffee is a fruit. To make it better in a sustainable way. So we enjoyed watching all the process from cherry picking the coffee from the trees. Actually, there was a kind of a competition among the participants to this tour. And our student from our group of Loyola won the competition for harvesting the highest number of ripe cherries of coffee. The second, which is also my favorite, but it's like a very, there's a very sentimental value to me, is when once we went to the cocoa farm. Family owned, so very, very small cocoa business. Very sustainable business. The student had a blast over there. We first went to waterfalls. We had to literally walk through a river upwards, up until the the waterfalls. They call it the Cascada.
The Cascada.
Right? And we came back. We had an amazing lunch. And we stay, believe it or not, I never done it before, but I enjoyed it so much. We stayed barefoot throughout all the tour inside the cocoa farm. And when I mean inside, I mean outside, in the open, among all the amazing plants, trees they have. And we also see a toucan who flown past us and literally landed next to us, an amazing big toucan. And then we understood how it is from cherry picking the cocoa from the tree and make it like a drink. Because in Costa Rica, and Gustavo will confirm that, in Costa Rica, cocoa is not something that you eat, it's something that you drink, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You make a refreshment out of it, yes.
So those two experiences, but together with the company visits that we had, as and a huge sustainability component. And being sustainability a really cross-sectoral approach and discipline, I don't see why students from environmental science, from music and media, from nursing, from whatever college and discipline we have here, they shouldn't be able to apply.
Absolutely. And I'm sure for any of our students listening, you had them at Starbucks Farm.
Yeah. I thought so. That's why it was the first example.
If you're a coffee lover, Costa Rica J-Term is the place to be.
It is.
Okay, so this is great. We have a lot going on. We've accomplished a lot with the center. You know, we're a small but mighty team, and we have a lot to look forward to. And so I just want to highlight the upcoming programs, you know, our Costa Rica J-Term. Our podcast launches, when this will launch is today. It'll be September 2nd. And when can viewers expect new episodes?
Every first Tuesday of the month, a new episode will air. We expect this year even a more mix of episodes in terms of type of guests we will invite to come. And I also always tell my students, do you want to share something that matters to us? Please tell us and come to our podcast. Our podcast is open to anyone. You don't have to have a premium Nobel to come talk to we sure don't have one. So I guess if you really, really want, and this is like literally a message for everyone, you think you want to have something to share, just tell us and we will be happy to have you.
Correct. You know, that's, again, as Alice says, one of the beauties is we have a very wide array. Sometimes we're very serious about a topic, sometimes a bit lighter. And while we have not had a Nobel Prize yet, I think we'll eventually have one, you know, because there is high-caliber people that come to Loyola. And we just want to make sure that the students and listeners are aware that many times when we interview someone, there's also an event attached to it. It could be a seminar, it could be a research seminar, it could be a keynote speaker. And so just stay tuned, because the podcast spins off this idea that we can triangulate in opportunities and create more opportunities. We're big into that belief. And so, you know, we will release every first Tuesday of the month. Stay tuned for that. And the topics, as we said, are going to range from very strong academic, you know, experiences, sometimes discussions of topics, sometimes political, economic, real-time events, and in others, experiential, student-driven, conversations.
That is great. And for listeners, you can listen to season 2 of Gumbo of Opportunities on Spotify. We post on our YouTube channel as well as our website, cib.loino.edu. You can follow us on social media. We have a LinkedIn where we share all of the latest happenings of students, faculty, staff, all of the exciting things we have going on at the center. So on our LinkedIn, it's just Center for International Business, Loyola University, New Orleans. And our College of Business has an Instagram account. So if you type in at Loino COB, that's Loino COB, College of Business, you can also see some of the exciting things that we have going on. So Yes. If you have any comments, suggestions, you want to be featured, email ibcenter@loino.edu. We'd love to have you. And as always, thank you for listening. Anything else y'all want to say to wrap us up?
Just looking forward to this amazing season of Gumbo Opportunities. Please listen to us, listen to our episode, share the news to anyone interested, and let us help you unlock opportunities.
Absolutely. Thank you to the team. Thank you for all the work that you have done. Thank you to the listeners and our benefactors that have allowed us to do this, Mr. and Mrs. Ryan, for their generosity in allowing us to grow and spread the word that St. Ignatius so rightly said by setting the world on fire, in the fire that the priest was saying this past Sunday. It is the healing fire. It's the fire of hope, not a fire of destruction. And so just being very happy to have this mean to continue expanding the work that we do. So thank you very much to you. Thank you very much to the listeners and all the administrators and benefactors.
All right. Thanks, y'all. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Gumbo of Opportunities, the podcast about international business of Southern Louisiana and New Orleans. Huge thanks to Farah, Oban, and all the staff involved for making this podcast possible. The music is New Orleans Jazz Guitar Music by The Music Hive.